Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And yes, we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have him back, Ken Affianco, former police officer. Heck, he's still certified and rides. Also, he's the FOP lawyer at FOPlawyer.com, and he's been representing cops for decades, so he's got a lot of great experience. So thanks for being on the show, Ken. Also, Dr. Travis Yates, retired Tulsa police major, and he's a crowd favorite. And actually, I think 2 days in a row for Travis here, so thanks so much, Travis, for being on the show. A shout-out to our sponsors. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AirwarPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. So we're having a good time. TwoBells.com, they've built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. That's where Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando near Disney. Next time you go, drop the wife, the kids, the grandkids off, and hook up with Zach for a bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com. Or the other alternative is to do alligator hunting, catching and relocating the wild Florida alligator. Shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaEPI.com. Thanks for carrying the contract, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich at FormerLawman.com. And Travis Yates, our very own, with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? We got some good topics, guys. FBI doubted probable cause for a Mar-a-Lago raid, but it pushed forward amid pressure from the Biden DOJ. This is according to emails that they've uncovered. That is not good. Then we have deep state cover-up. Clinton judge orders the destruction of key evidence in a case against James Comey. Are you serious? So I can't wait to hear Ken Affianco weigh in on that. We got a guy allegedly luring police with a bogus 911 call, and he slashes an officer in his face. And actually, our very own Travis Yates provided commentary in the media on that one, so we're going to be covering that one. Also, suspect dead, NYPD officer struck in the face when he is shot in the face with a shotgun with a bad guy. That kind of surprises him. That's a tough video to watch. Body cam, it shows the fatal shooting after a man slashes a Houston police officer in the face with a knife. So we got a couple cops slashed. Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash kills two children. Not a great story. And the rest of these, if we have time to get to them, or we may take these out of order. Man that swings a chain at people and drivers in South LA. He's shot and killed by LAPD officers. That one gave me some great concern, guys, watching this dude swing around the 7.5-foot chain and coming just inches away from the officer and no one using and then waiting to go lethal. Then we got a police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. We still got cops getting dragged by cars. Armed suspect dies when he crashes into a house after the pit maneuver during a high-speed chase. That was kind of interesting. I kind of like smiled a little bit on that one. That was a high-speed pit. Wow. Right into the side of the house. Okay, guys, if you guys are cool with it, we'll start up with the two main topics and we'll just kind of like pick it up from there if that's okay. So, and not that I necessarily want to spend a lot of time on these main topics, so I'm hoping to get to some of the other stories, but FoxNews.com, FBI doubted probable cause for a Mar-a-Lago raid. It's the one that you guys are thinking about, but they pushed forward even though there were doubts about the PC because they were getting pressure from the Biden DOJ. So there's emails involved in this, which is, you know, physical evidence. So I'm going to go in and touch on the highlights. And it starts off saying that the FBI did not believe it had probable cause to raid President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home back in 2022, but they moved forward anyhow because they were being pressured by the Biden DOJ. An official said that he didn't give a damn about the optics of the search, and that's what newly declassified documents are showing that are revealed by Fox News Digital. Now, Fox News Digital also revealed emails between the FBI and Justice Department officials in the months that were leading up to the raid in August of 2022. And the FBI officials expressed concerns about lack of PC, probable cause, to execute the search warrant on the then former president's residence in Palm Beach, Florida. And just some quotes, you know, very little has been developed related to who might be culpable for mishandling the documents. And that's what one FBI official said to an assistant special agent in charge. And and wrote to another FBI official, Anthony Reidlinger, saying that from the interviews, WFO has gathered information suggesting that there may be additional boxes, presumably of the same type that were sent back to NARA in January at Mar-a-Lago. And it goes on and on, but, and they talk about and they have concern about the staleness of the PC. So they don't have enough PC or probable cause, according to some agents. And now the timeline is increasing, right? Well, anyone that's done search warrants know that they can go stale. You have to use fresh PC, not stale PC. So, and I think, you know, with me, the running timeline is maybe 1, maybe 2 weeks top. So if you don't have that PC and you haven't moved on what you what you have, you have to go back and get it. And it's only going to last for a couple of weeks before, you know, you have to go back and prove that, yeah, I still know that guy stealing dope out of that house, or I know that this information is valid, or we have a picture of this, an email of that. And so none of that stuff sounds like it was being met at all, but they were being pressured by the Biden DOJ to move forward on the raid in Mar-a-Lago. Anyhow, there's a lot of stuff in here, but we can, you know, if you guys want to bring that out, but we could be here all day talking about this topic. Ken, if you don't mind, I'll start off with you, because, you know, a lot of people listening on the show don't really understand how search warrants work and stuff. And I'm kind of reassured about there being good guys at the FBI, knowing that they were the ones that started complaining about this push to raid Mar-a-Lago, and people talking about the optics and wanting to do it the right way. And then we have an official saying, I don't care how the optics look. Ken?
I'll talk about this in a legal perspective. I find it kind of ironic that certain group of Democrats are going on the media claiming that government officials do not have to follow illegal orders. However, in this situation, the FBI, if they truly believe they had no probable cause to do a search warrant, they were following an illegal order. They are obligated not to execute a warrant that they feel does not have sufficient probable cause. If they're being told by the White House, we don't care about the optics, just go do it, they're obligated to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel comfortable with it. Of course, you know, your job's probably going to be on the line if you did something like that. But I find it very ironic. The very thing the Democrats are complaining about today is apparent. If this story is true, they're complaining about the very same thing, what Trump's allegedly doing, which I don't think he is, that Biden did to Trump. It's just disgusting all the way around, if you ask me. If they had no probable cause, they're violating someone's constitutional rights, both civilly and criminally. Someone needs to go to Capitol Hill and explain this one to me.
Well, thanks, Ken. Travis H., do you want to weigh in on this one, or?
I'm getting a little tired every day, Chip, of saying, well, that conspiracy theory we were all made fun of is true again, that they were, you know, that, I mean, and I think everyone at the time with a brain knew, why are they raiding Mar-a-Lago? Why are they going in with all these agents and, you know, in the early morning hours on an ex-president? When we all know, if we've been alive for more than 12 years, that every ex-president ever gets accused of having documents they shouldn't have, including Mike Pence, including Joe Biden when he wasn't even president. So we all knew what was up, and there were FBI agents at the time that said something. You have agents like Steve Friend that came out as a whistleblower that tried to say, listen, we've tried to tell them that this was not legitimate. And those agents were fired. Those agents were suspended. Those agents are still without a job many times. So there were people trying to do the right thing, but shocker, the DOJ was being used not as it should have been, but as a political tool. And and I want people to understand this, because maybe you don't if you only watch certain channels with three dirty little letters in it, CNN. This is why President Trump's the president. The America knew what was going on. We knew that that's ridiculous. We knew that before he came down the escalator in 2015, he was one of the most popular celebrities on the planet. We all knew it, and then overnight he became a racist, the biggest, a misogynist, and you name it, and the most hated man in America because the media told you so. But most of America, you're not paying attention to the media. They still haven't figured that out. That's why he's president. He's president because of what they did to him. I'm convinced if they would have said nothing about President Trump after 2020, he wouldn't be president today. But yeah, they made it happen, and this is kind of where it started.
Yeah. Well, thanks. You guys are spot on. In a companion article, not too far away, we've got another one here, and it is Discern Report DeepStateCoverup.com. Deep State cover-up. Clinton judge orders destruction of key evidence in the case against James Comey. The destruction of evidence, that just blows my mind. Now, we don't have a lot of time. We're going to be going to our first commercial break in a second. Let me whet the appetite here. A Clinton-appointed federal judge in Washington has stepped in on the James Comey saga and ordered that place an order effectively is telling the FBI to wipe a key evidentiary trail that's tied to the former director's obstruction case and to do it quickly once that thing wiped away. That blows my mind. It drops the Justice Department into a separation of power storm at the same time. We're going to cover that in a minute. It's time for our first commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But, you know, I want to tell everybody and remind you about what's really important here, supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Galls at Galls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they do more than that. They support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. They put their money where their mouth is. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And they're even going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, next time you go to Galls.com for a purchase, type in Radio 15. That's Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. That works on almost all purchases. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Galls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. They have clothes as well. I got their new Mission Made pants, tactical pants, which are fantastic. They have everything, guys, galls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they have it going on as well. And, guys, they have more than just the glove. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their EagleProtect nitrile gloves and their Xalene protection. They also offer 4-hour fentanyl protection as well with those nitrile gloves, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, ComplianTechnologies/ M-I-T-E-K, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco and Dr. Travis Yates from Tulsa. And we've been talking about an interesting article. We have two really articles that we've been covering today. We've already covered the first one. The second one is Deep State Cover-Up. Clinton judge orders destruction of key evidence in the James Comey case. And former FBI Director James Comey was indicted back in September on charges of making false statements to Congress and obstructing congressional proceedings stemming from his 2020 testimony about Operation Crossfire Hurricane. And the indictment alleged that Comey lied when he denied authorizing anyone at the FBI to act as an anonymous source for media reports damaging to Donald Trump, and that he used Columbia law professor Daniel Rickman as an outside conduit in order to leak the material while Rickman simultaneously worked as a government contractor. And emails between the two are critical to the case against Comey, unless a judge orders them to be destroyed, right? So U.S. District Judge Cameron McGowan Curry, remember these names, a Bill Clinton appointee, dismissed the indictments against Comey and also New York Attorney General Letitia James last month. He ruled that the appointment of interim U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan was unconstitutional, and that because of that, the indictments were invalid. And 6 years ago, a warrant approved by Judge James Boasberg, and we've grown to hate that name, they allowed the FBI to seize Rickman's devices. So another Clinton-appointed judge, Colleen Collar Cottley, she ordered the FBI to destroy these emails that we're talking about by 4 p.m. on Monday, which is just crazy. According to Michael R. Davis, the founder and president of the Article 3 Project, the ruling threatens the separation of powers essential to the Republic, and either the D.C. Circuit or the Supreme Court must intervene immediately. It goes on to say that Rickman, who's not charged in the case, and remember, Rickman's the professor that leaked the stuff, has no standing as a defendant, filed a motion under Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure to reclaim the emails, arguing that the government violated the Fourth Amendment rights. And Rule 41G, it allows individuals to ask the court to return property that is obtained in an unlawful, you know, search. And I will throw this out here because Travis is on the show and he knows how we roll. This is alleged conduct. We're going off of news sources. We don't have any firsthand knowledge of what's been going on. It just goes on to talk about the FBI and the prosecution will be unable to review them, these emails, in their efforts to seek a new indictment if Curry's dismissal ruling survives on appeal. That would be kind of hamper a ongoing investigation. Ken Afianko.
How about this for a novel idea? Since this judge admitted that this particular piece of evidence or pieces of evidence is evidence and he wants them destroyed, how about the FBI going in and arresting him for conspiracy to destroy evidence, which is a felony?
It is a felony. Yep.
How about that? How about we try that as an angle and then indict him? Because I've never heard of something more unusual in my life where a judge who originally dismisses the case without prejudice, meaning it can be brought again in the future, and then turns around and says, well, we need to destroy the evidence immediately. That is so unusual. I've never heard of it. There's something really, really wrong here.
You're talking about I mean, you talk about why judges need, we need to get rid of their absolute immunity. I mean, I've always talked about this. Everyone's worried about the qualified immunity for law enforcement. It means you has to be qualified. Well, these judges and these prosecutors, they have absolute immunity. They get to do whatever they want. And by the way, you talking about earlier, we were talking about, you know, illegal orders. No police officer should follow that order at all. You know, of course, let the judge throw you in jail. There's just times you should risk going to jail. This is one of them. Oh, you're going to throw me in jail for contempt for not destroying evidence of a criminal case? Get after it, right? And so, man, we are in dark times. I mean, I've never thought in a million years we would be hearing things like this. And by the way, we would never have heard things like this if President Trump wasn't president, because this was all happening during the Biden administration. All of it in the background, all the people that have been put in power. So what do we not know? That's what's really scary.
What do we not know? You're so right. If we know this, there's so much that we don't know. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it is scary. All right, guys, so that's what's going on the federal side. Some scary stuff. But again, you know, these judges were calling out. This is, again, a Clinton-appointed judge, Colleen Collar Cottley. Remember that name. It's some scary stuff going on. All right, guys, moving along here. And we've got an update article that we have time to cover here. Lawofficer.com, man allegedly lures police with a bogus 911 call, and then he slashes an officer in the face. We have another officer stabbed, another story coming up as well. In fact, there's a video of that one. I thought it was the same story until I read Travis, and I found out it wasn't. This one is in Bellevue, Washington, that we're covering. So on Friday, a man allegedly, called 911 to ambush responding Bellevue police officers. And according to the charging documents and prosecutors, a 38-year-old man called 911 from the Bellevue Transit Center, reported a domestic violence incident. And apparently it was bogus. It never happened. He did not ask for an ambulance, but he did ask for an officer or two to respond. So minutes later, his two Bellevue police officers are standing with him in the busy downtown transit hub. This guy launched an ambush with a kitchen knife. And prosecutors allege that this guy named Mohammed, so that should be the next flag in the story, More Bangura, he spoke calmly for several seconds, gesturing as if to point out the dispute that he had reported. And then the documents say he unzips a pocket, draws a knife, and lunges with an ice pick style stabbing motion at one officer. That officer avoided the blow. And then he turns and slashed the right side of the second officer's face and then stabbed him twice more as he goes down. The injured officer suffered a 6-inch facial laceration along with a dislocated shoulder and a broken clavicle. Crap. According to charging documents in the King County Prosecutor Attorney's Office, the accompanying officer, the one he took the first swipe at, fired multiple rounds, striking the suspect before both officers pulled back, and both the officer and the suspect were transported to the hospital. Now, Dr. Travis Yates, I know that you were interviewed on this story. So why don't you start us off on this one?
Well, as you know, Chip, I constantly don't, when we see these sort of videos where violence occurs, I'm always looking at what's occurring before the violence, because that's really the only way you can prevent the violence. And there was what we call a declaration in this one, which is the words he told the dispatcher. That's why it's so important that dispatchers relay all the information, because when he called about domestic violence, he said, send me one or two cops. It's very odd, right? He didn't give any a lot of details about it. So we need to be able to have all the information possible before these contacts to keep our officers safe.
All right, commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Ken's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4, E1 Pro, and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Apianko and Dr. Travis Yates. And we're talking about a call where, you know, we have a cop that ends up getting, you know, stabbed and slashed on a call. Travis Yates, it's from lawofficer.com, and Travis Yates was talking about it. So Travis, the floor, your mic's muted, but the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just think I can't stress enough, whether you're a police officer or a civilian, you need to pay attention to the behavior of people. Everybody is giving off behaviors that will give you a clue of what's about to occur. And I won't go into the science behind that. I teach a bunch of courses and seminars on this, but basically you think about the action in your mind before you do it. And that thinking brings out certain behaviors. And one of those is what we call declaration, which is what this guy did to dispatch. What he said hopefully was relayed to the officers. And the reason this were kind of resonated with me, and I think I mentioned it in that interview, Chip, was when I was a young officer, I mean, I remember this call like it was yesterday. You usually do remember these type of calls. I get this weird call from dispatch that a guy called in and said he was a wanted subject, but he just wanted one officer to show up. Well, I immediately went, bing, 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 that's weird. Dispatch didn't think it was too weird, but I said, send me two more. How about that? Let's not send just me. Send me two more. And sure enough, I come pulling up dumb by myself. I didn't wait on the other two officers. And this guy's in the driveway basically doing, you know, pounding his chest, ready to go. So he wasn't wanted. He wanted to fight a cop that day. And he called 911 to do it. And to this day, it was the most brutal, violent fight I've ever been involved in. In fact, I told this story a few times in class. I hit this guy in the face as hard as I've ever hit a man in my life. He looked at me and he goes, is that all you got?
And you're a big dude.
Listen, I hit him as hard as I could. And he literally looked at me and said, is that all you got, son? And I knew I was in trouble then. And of course, he wanted a gunfight. He wanted all that. He didn't have any weapons, but he wanted me to end up shooting him. Well, fortunately, the other officer showed up within about 30 seconds. And it was, we rolled around on the gravel pavement, finally got him in custody. But I would not have been prepared for that if dispatch would not have relayed exactly what he told me. So in this case, I'm hoping that the officers were made aware of that. So it's very important to not only observe things that are odd, but anything said being odd. Like we see this a lot in the videos, is there'll be an encounter with somebody and they'll say, I'm not going to jail. That's a clue. Or you're not taking me to jail, or you're going to have to shoot me today. And by the way, what happens, gentlemen, every time we hear those in these videos we review, it happens, right? And so verbally, they're actually predicting what's going to happen. We have to pay attention to it.
Wow. Wow. Just so I can get a verbal word picture here. You're a big guy. Back then, when this thing went down, your height and weight back then, what were you pushing back then?
I was very similar. I was 6'3", 245, 250.
Crap.
And young. I was in my 20s, so I probably was in much better shape and probably looked a little better with hair. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard to beat crazy, right? Crazy people don't feel pain. We all know that. And that's one of the things these police reforms don't take into account, right? You can't talk really nice like they're your long-lost uncle to a crazy person and expect them not to be crazy. I know crazy is not a politically correct word. That if you think that, then you've never met crazy. Because I've met crazy, and it's very difficult. And that's why we have backup. That's why we have additional officers. That's why we have tools and resources. I don't want a fair fight, Chip. I want an unfair fight that I win.
Me too. Not only that, I got you beat because I've dated crazy. That's even worse, dude.
Look, it's better to date crazy than marry crazy.
I know. I've never married crazy. Just Ken knows what I'm talking about. Ken Afiego, he plead the fifth, Ken. But yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've dated crazy. Crazy's crazy. You know, I know guys, and I'm having some fun here, but I know guys that are like magnets for the crazy women, right? And when we get together and we talk, I'm like, thank God I'm married. Because some of these dudes, it's just like, and these girls put on a good show. You don't know until it's too late sometimes. You know, you're on and, you know, you're getting a relationship, you know, you're talking about, you know, getting married or whatever. And then all of a sudden the crazy hits, you know, and then they start showing you what they're really. See, Ken knows. See, Ken's got some stories he could share with us probably. I can tell by his mannerisms and stuff. He's starting to get a little comfortable when I'm talking about the crazy thing. You know, he's got some stories. He's holding back. He's holding out on us. I can tell. So I still haven't been able to draw him in with the open microphone. So that's about all I got. So if that won't work, you know, I give up, Ken. It's going to be a secret you're going to take to the grave. All right. I get it.
I don't want to incriminate myself on national radio. So,
okay. All right. Well, guys, moving along. And you know what we've got, I know I sent out what, 5 or 6 videos. If you want to take any of those out of order, I try to list them in the order of like importance for like the radio show. But if there's anything you see that you want to cover, I'll start up with video one, unless you've got a request for another one you want to start off with.
That sounds good. Video one's a good one.
Video one. Okay. So guys, starting off, this one's at rumble.com, and really all our videos I think are at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So this one, suspect dead. So we're off to a good start when you're talking about a bona fide bad guy. New York PD officer struck in the face when the man with a shotgun opens fire.
Yo, put that.
No, in the left, cover yourself. Stay here, stay here.
Put it down, man. Put it down. Yo, put it down.
He's inside the house.
Put it down. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. With your hands up. Come on.
Three David Midnight. It's the first floor, middle apartment. It's gonna be male black with a ski mask on, with a shotgun in his hand.
Where's the exit?
Just go to that gate, see if he doesn't jump out.
But the gate is locked.
Just check if he jumps out or not. Yo, are you coming out? Are you coming out or no? Let me see your hands. I'm hit. Let me see your hands.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for this freaking dude that shot a cop in the face, you know, with a freaking shotgun. So we're in Brooklyn. New York City police officer came within inches of losing his life when he's shot in the face. It was bird shot, but still, after a suspect opened fire with a shotgun on Monday in Brooklyn, the officer was rushed to the Brookdale Hospital. Non-life-threatening injuries, thank God. Suspect identified by police as a 24-year-old, a young buck, Deshaun Anthony LaRode. He's dead. Now, two other officers and a civilian were also injured in a crash when the police were responding to it. So, you know, you know what happened. You know, it goes out, you know, shots fired, officer down. These guys are screaming to get there in their cars, and there's there's an accident. Fortunately, the two officers and the civilian are going to be okay. So it starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. EMS response reports of an unconscious guy. They find the guy named Leroy Wallace, 41 years old. He's fatally shot at the scene. And so they call police, the EMT. So we got one dead guy, ends up that our suspect that shoots the cop is the one that killed this dude. So a shotgun shell is found in a vestibule at the building. NYPD shows up. They believe that Wallace, our bad guy, Wallace, our first victim, was shot in the vestibule and stumbled outside before he collapsed on the ground. And this building, it's like an apartment complex building. And so at around 7:45 in the morning, the suspect opens the door of his first floor apartment. They kind of leave out. We got at least two cops that are in here, and they're like right in front of the doorway. And it looks like when they kind of like force their way into the building, where there's like a bunch of like apartment doors, they're given commands for the guy to drop it. So I presumably see the bad guy, and they're telling him to drop the weapon. He must circle around because they're looking down the hallway, expecting to come back out. And they're right in front of this wooden door, which is the apartment that he ends up opening up the door and coming out of. So they're right. I mean, thank God he didn't open fire to start blasting when they were like right there. But the one cop walks away, leaving another cop. And all of a sudden, the door opens up, and there's a slow motion of the dude with the shotgun, and he unloads on this officer. There's return fire, and bad guy ends up getting hit. Officer Sherrill Wars, 25 years old, return fire. Suspect then barricades himself inside the apartment. The Wars is rushed to the hospital in stable condition, and they believe the suspect shot that he was shot by the injured officer who returned fire once he shot in the face. And now we've got two other officers rushing the scene. They have their accident stuff. They sent in a drone, and they see this bad guy ended up being dead from the return fire. Thank God. So that's the way it goes down. Commentary on this video, guys. Ken Afianko.
All I can say is this. How that officer survived with birdshot. It looked like the officer was maybe 5 or 6 feet away from the tip of that shotgun barrel. How in the world he survived is beyond me. People think, oh, it's just birdshot. Birdshot at 6 feet away blows a hole as big as a basketball in somebody. So he must have been way off with the shot, and a couple pellets hit the officer in the face. But how he lived, he is so lucky. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Travis?
Two specific mistakes, and I will blame administration on one mistake and the officer on the other mistake. It's very easy for us to judge these videos, as you know, because we're not there in real time. But the first one, if you watch closely, he spends a considerable amount of time in the middle of this high-stress, rapidly evolving situation checking his body camera to make sure it's operating. Very tragic that officers are having to do that today. He has to bend down, take his eyes off downrange, and mess with the body camera. And that's straight from leadership that is placing more emphasis on that than officer safety. That's very unfortunate. And secondly, was he walked past the open doorway. Listen, it can happen, but I can tell you, I can safely say I never did it for one reason and one reason only. I was in the Basic Academy, and you don't remember much 30 years after Basic Academy, but I remember this constantly. We put us in scenarios, and a burglary suspect ran out of a supposed, you know, store, and I took off running after him, and I ran in front of an open window, an open door, and got blasted. And it was in training, but that was shocked me to the core, where my entire career, I never went in front of open windows and open doorways. And I'm sure NYPD does something similar, but that is what got him in the situation, he crossed the barrier of that doorway without clearing it. And so it's just slow down, you know where the guy is. And once again, it goes back to the reforms. He's talking real nice. Are you going to come out, sir? Are you going to stop that? Let's go home at night, regardless of how nice we are.
Excellent. Excellent story. I want to talk more about that training story and scenario-based training that you mentioned, Travis, when we come back. But commercial break, guys, here we go. All right, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, guys, you know, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own attorney Ken Afianko here, and also Captain Brett Bartlett. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn, leoroundtable.com to get more information. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And look, law enforcement, we're talking with Travis Yates, retired police major from Tulsa, Dr. Travis Yates now, and also attorney Ken Afianco, again, former police officer, and he still has his police certification in the state of Florida. You got to love that. And guys, we're just talking about a use of force with a video component. Travis Yates, I know we left off, had to go to the commercial break. The floor is yours.
Oh, no. I mean, I think we just covered the NYPD video right before we left. And you know, training is so vital. Not only training in the academy, but continued training, right?
Well, I know what we're going to talk about. When you mentioned that you did a scenario-based training and that you were chasing a burglary suspect and you ran by, I think it was a glass window or a glass door or something.
So it was the basic academy, you know, scenario, and it was in the gymnasium, right?
But what did they use? Because I'm wondering, were they using real guns with like blanks? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah. So what they did is they would dispatch a call. We had at the end of our academy training, they had this whole night where you just went to four or five calls that night. Then they would debrief the calls, and so the call goes out, burglary in progress. And so when I get, and they say, oh, you know, it's in the gymnasium behind what, you know, so I mean, it wasn't. And so I showed up, and as soon as I walk in the gym, this dude takes off running out of the so-called business. And I just started chasing after him. Well, as I chased after him, I passed a window and a doorway, and a guy inside just blasted me, right? They said, lay down, you're dead. Don't move, you're dead. You know, and they pushed that. And man, to my entire career, I remembered that. I mean, I remembered that my entire career. So training is so vital.
So I was on the show with someone the other day. I can't remember who it was, and I'm kind of glad that I can't. But look, I mean, look, everybody has different experiences, but that person swore, did not believe that there was enough value in this type of training, did not think that it was realistic enough and that it would impact officers. And I was telling him that even when we were doing, I mean, now there's like companies like Vertra and Axon that have these like 365 degree virtual simulators that you're in. And I mean, it's like 4K. You can see a white head on some dude's, you know, chin getting ready to pop, you know, it's just, you can see everything, right? But I mean, even before we had those and we just had, you know, just regular, you know, green screens and stuff, I've seen officers, it's so realistic that you just, you know, I've seen officers drop to their knees and try swapping out mags on a fake gun because they're panicking and they think they're in a gunfight. And I love scenario-based training like what you're talking about. And I tell people get a little excited when I tell them that we used to use real guns with blanks and stuff. And there's a proper way to do that with a safety officer and stuff. And this is way before things like simunitions came out. We didn't have any other choices, but let me tell you, it would rock your world and wake you up. And so when Travis talks about how much of an impression that made and likely saved his life and his career and helped him do the same for other officers, that scenario-based training, it's priceless, right? And now, of course, we've got, it's even better now. We can control scenarios, create our own and all that stuff. So I love the fact that that training all the way back in the academy never left you throughout your 30 plus year career.
Yeah, I can't imagine someone that doesn't say it's valuable. I mean, obviously it's not the scenario-based training that's valuable. It's how you set the training up. It's how you front load the training. It has to be winnable, right? And
that's it. The unwinnable scenario,
it has to be realistic and winnable. Yeah. There's all sorts of ways of doing that. So yeah, we're not doing enough of it. We need to do more of it. It's the only way to really experience it before, because you can't make a mistake in real life, right? So you can make a mistake and train and learn from it.
Yeah, there's always something to be learned. So I that's a really that fantastic story. And that's why, guys, that's why training is so important. And it's got to be good training. And even if you're trained, if you get bad training, guess what? You're going to do what you're being told the wrong way. So training, you want perfect practice makes, you know, perfect performance, right? So you need to have good training and you need to do things the right way because you're ingraining it into your system. So if you guys are ready, we'll go to the next one and that'll be video to the next one we have lined up. I think we have enough time to cover it. Rumble.com. Again, this is Butters, the channel. Body cam shows the fatal shooting of a man after he slashes a Houston police officer in the face with a knife.
You need to chill out. You understand me? You need to chill out.
I'm trying, bro. I am chilling, but you're not going to touch me. I didn't break no law. I didn't do nothing suspicious. And I know my statute of codes, bro, and I will sue you.
Okay.
Because I'm going to record y'all.
Stop. God damn.
Recording. Hey. I came into CBS over here.
You asked for help.
No.
You asked for
gonna
help.
Do it. They're going to kill me tonight then.
Oh.
They're going to fucking kill me tonight.
Stop.
Hey, y'all don't.
We're literally
y'all
just asking
kill me tonight.
For help.
Y'all gonna have to kill me tonight. Y'all gonna have to kill me tonight.
I wanna kill you. Come here.
Nah, y'all gonna have to kill me because I ain't going to jail. Hey, I ain't do shit.
You're okay.
I wanna see my son.
Okay, we're gonna help you.
I'm not. Y'all go welfare check.
Hey, relax.
Welfare check. Y'all finna get it. Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare. Back up. My son! Hey, stop! Get the fuck up!
Shots fired!
Don't
come here, man.
Come here. Back up! My son!
I've been stabbed.
My son!
Send a bus. Oh my God.
Again, we have another knife. I hate these stories. Houston, Texas, according to HPD, Houston Police Department, this happened on November the 23rd, 7:48 in the evening. We have two Houston cops. They're inside a business and there's a guy in there that's kind of losing it. He's kind of claiming they've left his milk and cereal on the bus. And so they asked this dude to step outside. Looks like it's like some kind of like a, you know, like a Walmart or not a Walmart, like a Walgreens or CVS or something. So they go outside for the conversation and this dude's really off the reservation. In the release footage, the guy appears disturbed, possibly intoxicated, repeats phrases like, "I'm freaking out, bro." And during the interaction, the man becomes agitated when the officers ask him to put down the bags that he's holding. And then he starts shouting in paranoia, saying that he believed the officers were going to shoot him, talks about wanting to see his son. And the officer tries to calm him down, but he continues yelling and threatening the officer, saying, "Hey, you're going to have to kill me tonight." And at this point, he's starting to back away from the officers. And so they're approaching him. And so the situation escalates and they say it gets out of control and a struggle breaks out. Yeah, they go hands on with this guy, but the fight is on. And I believe, if memory serves me correctly, we got two male officers and a female officer in on this thing. And at some point, as the officers arresting the man, it says gunfire breaks out. We have different body cams we're watching. And one body cam, you can see this dude produce a knife. It's a decent sized knife. Not that I'd want to get cut with a small one, but one of the officers on the body cam, you see fighting over this guy with a freaking knife. And then in another one, you see an officer off to the side bleeding profusely after having been cut. And the other male and female officer are still, you know, fighting with the bad guy that's with the knife. So paramedics end up getting called at the shooting. The guy's pronounced dead. The injured officer is transported to the hospital for treatment, later released. In my watching the video, you guys maybe you know more than I know, or you may have a different, you know, perspective. It appears to me that after the officer that got stabbed and verbalized that he got stabbed and leaves the other two officers to fight, which is fine because this guy's bleeding profusely, the guy produces a knife. And, you know, when there's blood and stuff things get really slippery, they realize that they need to disengage and shoot this dude, right? And so, but they need to create that or get to the gun. And so that's where they end up backing away and shooting him. And the guy dies. And personally, I'm okay with that. But Travis Yates, what do you gather from all this?
Well, I want to be very clear about this. I know what I'm about to say is going to go against every bit of training that law enforcement's been given, especially on mental calls. When a mental call, you get pre-attack indicators, you get non-compliance, you get resistance, you get declarations. It's no longer a mental call. It's a call that you should be concerned about for your life, and you should treat that much more differently than just a strict mental call. We built much of our de-escalation and reforms around the mentally ill, but mentally ill or not, when these things start occurring, you've got to start heightening your tactical awareness. And so there's a lot that happened here. First off, anxiety. He starts backing up. Those are huge indicators. And I've reviewed every public domain use of force video in the last 5 years. I'm telling you, they're huge indicators. You can check my website out if you don't, if you want to get more details on that. But more importantly, what we mentioned earlier, Chip, the declarations. He's telling you what he's about to do before he does it. You're not going to touch me. You're going to have to kill me tonight. So at that point, this is not a mental call. This is a call that you should be very concerned for your safety and act accordingly.
Bravo. Totally agree. We got 1 minute. Ken Afianko.
Yes, I looked at this video several times. And just from my perspective, I mean, as Travis pointed out, there was many indicators. This guy was not going to go peacefully. He was looking for a fight. And he ultimately got his wish, which I'm okay with. But at the end of the day, I don't know why. As soon as he started getting aggressive, they just didn't take him out with a taser. I don't understand that, because in my agency, I would not have been able to go hands-on with that guy at that point in time. Our policy says you use your taser first, then hands-on. There were three or four cops out there. Okay, one should have had lethal out. One should have had their taser out. The guy started acting squirrely, started backing up. He had his hand in his pocket the whole time. Zap the guy. Take him out with the taser. If that doesn't work, transition to something else. For the life of me, I don't understand why the best decision in there was to go hands-on. That's what I don't understand. But anyway.
Well, good point. And, you know, occasionally now we'll see contact shots, you know, if you're up close and personal, and if you can safely get to your gun and just put it against the guy and pull the trigger or do a headshot, you know, it was close proximity. I don't know if they really had the opportunity to do that or not, because there were so many limbs moving all over the place. But an excellent show. Dr. Travis Yates and attorney Ken Afianko, thank you guys for being on the show. I want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So please support them, guys. If you guys want more information on Travis Yates, Travis, you're still doing the Courageous Police Leader thing, right? You got 10 seconds. Can you tell them where they can find you?
Yeah, easiest way, go to travisyates.org. It will spurn you off on articles and podcasts and trainings and all that.
Perfect. And FOPlawyer.com, I believe, for Ken Afianko. Guys, Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We have GunLearner.com, Medicare.LifeSafeGuardRecruiting.com. Love them. TwoBells.com, FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern. Thanks for watching the show and for the support. We appreciate it.